to God. I'd like you to turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. If we could keep our screen down this morning. Luke chapter 21, and starting in verse 25. This is Jesus said, he's saying, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, upon the earth distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." God's saying, you know, I'll tell you what's going to happen in the end times. There's going to be some distress among nations. Is there? Are there fires on the west coast and floods on the east coast? I mean, what's all that about? Earthquakes, the moon turning to blood, eclipses like we've never seen before. All these, according to Jesus, are signs of his coming. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption, that's my Jesus, he draweth nigh. Everything that has to have happened that was prophesied has already taken place. The next thing on God's calendar is coming back for his church. The next thing that will happen will be the sound of a trumpet. The Bible says, when they think not, that's when he's coming. Hallelujah. If you'll ask somebody, just walk down the street, even walk to a place where people are walking out of church and say, "Is Jesus coming?" Many of them don't even know that he's coming again. Amen. And they don't believe, even if they do believe he's coming again, that it's soon, but it is soon. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing upon your word. We've been basking in your presence. You are so merciful to us, so gracious. Every thought, you know. You know our need this morning. Speak to us from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to Acts, the 2nd chapter? Now, this is proclaimed the greatest sermon that it was ever preached on the face of the earth. It's the birth of the church, of course, when the church was filled with the Holy Ghost. But right in the middle of it, verse number 17, it speaks about the same thing. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaiden I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy." In the end times, there's going to be more spirit, more power of God than ever. We look back at all of the things that have happened in the days of the apostle, and it's nothing in comparison to what's going to happen just before our God comes. "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call," and that word call means to take on the name, an entitlement on the name of the Lord, "shall be saved." Now, it certainly couldn't contradict what Acts 2 and 38 says. "Then Peter said unto him, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It doesn't mean just, "Jesus, I want to be saved," because that would contradict what verse 38 says. And so we see that, again, there are going to be signs that will take place. And not so much to the world, but to the church. Ready or not, here I come. We can be lulled into complacency, thinking that every day is going to be the same. Church won't change. The world won't change. And when they say, peace, peace, suddenly destruction cometh. We got all kinds of peace treaties trying to, be evident. But I'll tell you what, there won't be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And then if you'll turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 1. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or self-destructing ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We're finding that there are churches who are merchandisers. Let's get as many people as we can in order to build a bigger building or have a greater congregation or have more dollars. That's not what it's all about. Amen. I would rather have few people who are saved than a whole lot of people who are half-baked. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus said in John 4 and 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. I'm glad that I came to church the first time and saw and experienced God firsthand, which gave me an appetite to find out more about the God that I just felt. You see, sometimes we give people more information than they need, and we almost scare them. But what they need to do is have an experience with God, and then all of a sudden they want to know more about the God that just touched them. Amen. Most all of us have at one time or another asked God for a sign to confirm something in our life. God, if you really want me to do this, well, then you have to. You know, how many times have we done that? Ask God to confirm, even though we have the Word of God, we have the preaching of God's Word, we have gifts of the Spirit that also confirm to us the direction and the will of God. Oh God, just give me a sign that what you already said is what you already mean. Really? I know what the Word of God says, but could you tell me what your will is? I mean, really, does that make any sense, folks? It's like old Gideon. When he was sent an angel of God to say, oh, mighty man of valor, here he is cowering behind a mill, grinding out some grain because the enemy, the Midianite, comes and takes it all away. And so he just wants to feed his family. He's just trying to do the best that he possibly can. And so here's an angel that comes to him. And in Judges 6 and 17, it says, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Really? An angel shows up. An angelic being shows up, I don't know, glowing, white, perhaps even wings. And he's saying, God, if somehow I found grace in your sight, could you confirm that this is really for me? I mean, I've had people come to church. The power of God has fallen on them. The tears are streaming down their face and they're wondering, is this really God? Hallelujah. You know the story. Gideon puts a fleece before the Lord. Literally, a fleece. a piece of wool, if you will, and he says, God, if this really is your will, then here's what I want. I want the fleece to be soaked in water from the dew in the morning, and the ground around it, well, let that be dry. Hallelujah. Then shall I know your will is for me to fight the Midianites. And so that's exactly what happened. God is so merciful, he shows him the sign. But Gideon, still not convinced, so Gideon says to God in verse 39, which is absolutely incredible, he says, don't be angry, let me prove, I pray thee. Now you see, our job is not to prove God. God's job is to prove us. Oh God, I just want to prove. Are you really sure you want me to do this? Gideon requests it, that the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And of course, that's exactly what happens. Two signs from God that God really meant what he said. God gave Gideon the victory. 300 farmers against 150,000 well-trained Midianites. He called it down from, 30,000. He said, everyone who is afraid, go home. I mean, it's a shadow and type of the church. You come in and you know God's in this place, but do I really want to live for God? And those who are afraid to start the journey, well, they go home. And then we got 10,000, and then God says, okay, tell them this is what I want you to do. Only 300 did what God said he should do, but that's all he needed, 300. There's not strength in number. There's strength in obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah. And so 300 defeat 150,000 Midianites with not swords, but with a pitcher and a trumpet. And we see so many signs and wonders in our walk with God every day. I'm just afraid sometimes we see so many healings and miracles within our church that we sometimes can become complacent to it. Oh yeah, yeah. God healed. God did. Every day as I speak in a language that I have never learned, it's a sign that God is with me. And that's true for you. The healings that we are all witness to and the miracles are almost commonplace. 1 Corinthians 1 and 22 says, for the Jews require a sign. Even back then, the Jews who memorized the scriptures, they counted every letter, and yet they still wanted a sign to see, God, are you still with me? Do you really want me to go this direction? Oh, I hope I graduate. That when I read the word of God, I say, okay, that's what God wants. I don't need any sign. I don't need confirmation. Oh, God, if you really want me to do this, have the preacher say, all right. Church, could it be that the signs are all around us and yet we aren't seeing them like we once saw the signs? Today we can just read the news and see the signs. God publishes it in the paper and on the internet for us that, hey, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Something happened this week that it really got my attention. The roundabout down here on 38 and K was closed for some construction. Just to get to the bank, I had to drive something like 4 miles, to go around. And so right here at the corner of Airline Road, there's this huge sign that said, road closed 1/4 mile. And then you go a little further, and there's another big sign that says, road closed 1,000 feet. And then you go a little further, and it says, road closed 500 feet. And then there's all these barriers. And then the only way they could do is to make a U-turn or turn into the subdivision that I live in. And at that entrance, there's a great big sign that says, dead end, no outlet. and I saw hundreds of cars drive by my house. And then when they got to where the roundabout is for the dead, and they're going even faster because now they lost. They realized I took a wrong turn. Can you not read the signs? Some of them had even nice cars. They must have gotten those nice cars somehow by using some of their brain cells. But after four signs, they're still making the wrong turn. It makes me wonder, why do we spend $30,000 for a sign that flashes all of our service times and activities? They even flash my cell phone number on that sign. And maybe the only thing they ever see is the temperature and the time. And salvation is just turning the right way.
Amen, Lord.
Hallelujah. People see the invitations in living color, and yet they drive by and go to a dead end. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord Jesus and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. I mean, how much more could God do to show us the way of truth? He's preserved the Word of God, and there are still men who will preach the Word of God undiluted. There are plenty of signs in this world, as God predicted. Things are happening now that have never happened before. Somehow, we must see truth. Some have seen sign after sign, and they still go down the wrong road. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 14, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Pernicious, self-destructing ways of false prophets wanting to make it easier, and their signs don't come out of God's signs. You see, God puts up large, legible signs for everyone to see. If they've never walked into a Pentecostal church, God has been showing them signs after signs, giving them invitation after invitation, things that they can't explain in their life that have to be supernatural, but they still decide, even after the sign, to go down the wrong way. Hallelujah. He allows us to take the right path or the wrong path. You want the dead end where there's no outlet, or do you want to go to the thoroughfare? Would you turn to John, the 7th chapter? I'm aware of the time. I'm not preaching long this morning. John 7 and verse 37, an incredible scripture. In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, I don't believe that he just whispered. I believe he was screaming out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, how? As the signs hath said, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He's saying, if you believe according to what the book says, according to what the scriptures say, there's going to be something that's going to happen to you. There's going to be a flow of my Spirit within you. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Even though they heard the scripture, even though God gave them a clear sound, there were some that said, it just can't. How many sermons have been preached from this pulpit identifying who Christ is and what the plan of salvation and the path for righteousness is, and yet, well, I'm not sure that the bridge is out. I'm not sure that the road that I'm on is a dead, and I think I'm going to take my chances. Maybe there will be an opening right beyond the barriers. And I know that's what they were thinking. There's got to be a little local traffic. Maybe I can go around the barriers. And God's saying, no, there isn't a detour for salvation. There are no shortcuts that you can get to heaven. I mean, can it get any more plain? There's only one way. Only one way. Amen. There's only one Lord. Right. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one name above all names whereby we must be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Titles aren't enough. Amen. I got to have a name called over me. It's not a broad street, it's a narrow way. And I, for one, am so glad for the signs along the way. And I'm telling you, I know you have felt this way too. You come to church and then God just talks to you. The guy uses the same scripture that you just read yesterday. The same preaching came out of the pulpit that you were thinking about. God, I don't know about this. And then God answers you. It's another sign you're on the right road. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to keep on the right road, folks. Amen. Preachers, give me those directions one more time. Amen. I've been there before, but could I get those instructions one more time to get on the right path? Probably the most obvious signs Jesus gave us was just before he ascended into heaven. The last words of Jesus before 500 people saw him leave this world and disappear in the clouds. Amen. You know, that's going to happen to me. That's going to happen to you if you stay on the right path. One day, gravity will let loose. This world will no longer have any pull on us, and all of a sudden we'll be flying through the roof, pile of clothes here because we won't need them, robes of righteousness, and we'll be gone. And we'll still be remembering the last words that Jesus said. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said just before he was raptured, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I preached this message last night. Brother Bear preached a message on the oneness of God last night. And the chaplain got up and after said, does anybody want to get saved here? Just accept the Lord as your Savior. No, here, he that believeth and is baptized. There's a sign, but they go, right past the sign. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they speak with new tongues. Right by the sign. There's probably an opening where the barricade is that I can just sneak around and I don't have to observe the sign. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall take up serpents. In other words, they will have power over the enemy of our soul. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right by the sign. I didn't see that. I've been studying. I've been going to church all my life. I never saw those signs. It was Jesus himself who said, if you're really looking for the right way, if you're really looking for the right direction, I'm telling you, I am giving you huge signs that says you're on the right path. Follow them. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I've been inviting some guys that I play tennis with over the years, and a couple of them have come out on occasion. A few weeks ago, one man came, sat on the front pew with me, and does he believe in God? Absolutely. Does he go to church? Absolutely. Does he live the best he possibly can for God? Yes, he does. I told you a couple years ago on a Saturday morning, I was walking up and down praying, and God told me, tell Don that the cancer is not coming back. And so later that day, I was playing tennis, and I said, Don, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Well, yes. I said, God spoke to me about you. Do you want me to tell you? And he said, yes. And I said, here's what God said. The cancer is not coming back. I didn't know he had cancer years ago, but he has been worried about that cancer for years. God read his mail and gave him a great big sign that there's something more for you. A few weeks ago when he stood here, he had a broken arm, and I said, would you want me to pray for you? And he said, yes. So I prayed for him and then began to speak in another language. Another sign. This is real. How many people see signs? They blow past them. That can't be for me. That's not a sign. Are you looking for the right sign? People start shopping for churches based on what the regulations are. How few or how many services there are. The personality of the pastor, what kind of choir they have. But in the end, if you're not on the right road, few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. I read a bumper sticker this week that said, the closer you follow me, the slower I go. I'm still trying to find one like that to put on my car. It irritates me when someone is only 2 foot away from me, you know? And I have to admit, I've taken my foot off the gas a little bit. I'm sure God is pleased with me. Here's what God's sign would say. The closer you follow me, the closer I get to you. It's not rude to follow God real close. It's not rude because nobody else wants to get that close. I think John's my man because John was always hands-on with Jesus, put his head on his chest at the Last Supper. Maybe that's why he's the only one that didn't suffer a horrible death. There is a sign on my doctor's wall whenever I come in. There are 10 phases based on my pain level, you know? And each phase gets worse as your pain level goes up, you know? And the last one has tears running down their face because I can't tolerate that. It's a sign of pain. When I stand up here, I look at people in the church, and I can see the signs of what they're going through their face, through their body language, for the lack of enthusiasm. Something's going on in their life, and they are displaying a sign, if you will, of how they're doing spiritually. Sometimes it grieves me because I can see that they're far from God, even though they're in God's house. They don't wear a sign that illustrates their personal struggles, like, I'm having a very bad day, I had a bad diagnosis, I'm feeling depressed, I lost a loved one, I'm going through a separation, I don't have enough finances in order to get me through the month. They don't have a sign like that, but there's signs on their face and in their body language that demonstrates to me there are some things going on that they need help. If we could read those signs, perhaps we would have more compassion and caring. And that shouldn't just apply to those people within the church, but we should be looking for the signs of people that we pass every day that says, I'm hurting. I need direction. We're the only ones who can be the cop on the corner and say, that's the right way to go. Hallelujah. And insist, you're going down a dead end. Oh, but we don't want to rock the boat. You know, we could go in the prison and we could preach the same message that dozens of other churches preach. You're all right, I'm all right, we're all going to have fun. God's going to bless you. We can't be so busy with our own life that we miss the signs of other people that are around us. Because they need what we have. Well, they don't even know they need what we have. But folks, one day we're going to stand before a judgment seat. Yes, even those that are saved will stand before a judgment seat. And God will say, did you talk to them? Did you show them? Did you invite them? Because we do have a responsibility because of the truth that we have. 2 Corinthians 3 and 2 says, ye are our epistles. And if you look at that word epistle, in the original Greek it says written message. We are a written message or sign written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I don't think there's anybody in here who hasn't been stopped, whether it's a grocery store or at work, and say, what is it about you? What is it? Where do you go to church? Because God's hanging a sign on each and every one of us that they can direct you to where you need to be. Are people following your life as a sign? Amen. That they might follow us to salvation. I was doing a little bit of work in the yard, and car after car going, whew, whew. And I'm thinking, what's the deal? You can't see the signs? Do a roundabout. Do a turnaround. Someone in your life needs to do a turnaround and go in the right direction, because they're going in the direction of destruction, and someone has to say, no, no, that's the wrong way. You got to come this way. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a responsibility that we have. Amen. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we can be driving our life down the road, never looking at the signs that are so obvious to some and not to others. Would you stand with me, please? I was so glad on Friday that they took the barriers down. Amen. Our neighborhood is now safe again. But they had another sign up that says loose gravel. And I don't know what that's all about. They didn't have an explanation, just said loose gravel. It didn't look loose to me. But I said this morning after coming back from, what was that place? Starbucks. They still have the barriers on the side of the road. You know what? That gives me an idea that the barriers are going back up again. Right. Amen. I'm going to ask them if they could give one more barrier and put it in front of our subdivision. Amen. I've been thinking about those spike strips. You know? Yeah, probably wouldn't be Christian, though. Amen. It will stop them. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?